7 o'clock. Good morning, Pyle. Thanks for joining us. Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Most trusted name in automobiles. Good to be back with you today. Thanks to Cake and Max for filling in yesterday.
We're still employed, so they must have done all right.
Yeah, the door code still worked.
Yep.
And thanks to you and Karen once again for going up to Breckenridge to the Colorado Athletic Directors Association, their annual conference and luncheon, and I received the Media Person of the Year for interscholastic sports coverage, something along those lines. And I want to thank Josh King once again and Paul Kane for nominating me for that. It was a wonderful day, and lots of local folks getting honored as well, with Dan Bollinger, the Administrator of the Year, the principal at Palisade. You also had Denny Squibb, who, of course, was an athletic director at Fruita Monument and Grand Junction and Palisade previously. Coached basketball, won a state championship at Fruita Monument. And Denny received the Retired Athletic Director of the Year Award. John Watson, who replaced Denny at Fruita Monument, named the Southwestern League Athletic Director of the Year. So congratulations to all those folks. Western Slope was well represented with Steamboat Springs and Roaring Fork also winning AD of the Year for their respective classifications.
You tell Chassa wasn't in charge of this thing. There's a lot of Western Slope representation.
Hey, saw Mike there.
I know. He was in the back, though.
Saw the commissioner there.
The commission was almost as far back into the room as I was. We were pretty parallel to the dais there, so maybe they allegedly no assigned seating, but
I asked where I was supposed to sit, and Ken and I set up front because that's where they told me to sit.
Yeah, I asked, and they're like, "All right."
But a great event. I want to thank Matt and the folks over at CADA, Colorado Athletic Directors Association. It was a wonderful event, and really enjoyed it. And Paul Kane was there, and Greg Hawkins.
Yeah, Brad Schaefer was there.
Brad Schaefer was there as well, and it was fantastic that they were all there. To John Watson, obviously, was there, winning the SWL Athletic Director of the Year Award. So really appreciated.
Very
humbled by it. Yeah, very humbled by it, and thank you guys for coming. And it was just a tremendous honor to receive that award, which Gene Rozelle had won previously for him here in the Valley, Kip Mincer as well, many, many years ago. And so very honored, very humbled by it. And but I certainly want to send out congratulations to, of course, Dan and Danny and John for the awards that they won as well. All right, 7:03. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. We've got a busy show today. And coming up, we'll talk with Landon Wareham, Montrose Redhawks baseball coach. Montrose has Central today out at Central High School. I'll have that game along with Vern McGee today. And then, of course, we'll have the Avalanche looking to clinch like the Nuggets did last night against the L.A. Lakers.
Came into this world as the son of a coach, but in these playoffs, he became the Lakers' daddy!
And he's still the Lakers' daddy. Yes, yeah. They did lose a game in this series. They did lose a game.
Papa!
Jamal Murray twice in this series with game-winning shots under 5 seconds. And in a game that he was not supposed to play last night. And that's part of the storyline of this, where Michael Malone did not want Jamal Murray to play. Had the left calf strain. There was concern that left calf strain turns into Achilles situation. And so after he strained his calf in game 4, Michael Malone's like, "I don't want you playing tonight in game 5. I want you sitting it out." Jamal Murray's like, no, I'm not going to. I'm going to play. I feel okay. I'll be fine. And boy, he was great last night. Hits the game-winning shot. He scores 32 points last night. Nuggets get the win, 108-106 over the Lakers. We got a lot of sound, some Post Malone, some Jamal Murray as well, and Nikola Jokic, who thinks there's a conspiracy about Jamal Murray's injury, by the way. He thinks there's a conspiracy there.
I love conspiracy theory, Joker.
But for Murray, who did not shoot the ball well in the series,
the whole team kind of didn't.
But
at different times.
And once again, we got another in the same clip from the Joker. He also talks about that, about Jamal Murray not having a great shooting series. And I'll just leave it for that coming up in a few minutes of what, I mean, it's a pretty basic thing that he says, but it's true in what he says. But Murray with the 14-foot jumper, 3.6 seconds left. Denver wins 108-106. Now they get Minnesota in a rematch of last year's playoffs. Starting to look very familiar. Order's not the same as last year, but it's starting to look familiar. Lakers, Minnesota, now in the second round. And they have yet to set the game time for that, by the way. But it will be Saturday night in Denver. We do know that much to be true. That'll be the first game of that second round playoff series. You know, Michael Porter Jr. played well in the series. Had another really good game. Mm-hmm. He's been very consistent with all the things that have, with his brothers that have been obviously weighing on him. He's been extremely consistent.
He shot nearly 50% from three.
He hit five threes last night.
He played really well.
Joker's Joker, 25 and 20 last night. Almost had another triple-double. And so for the Nuggets, I mean, this was not an easy series, though. Michael Malone talks about that. I mean, they had to win two on buzzer beaters from Murray. They had to fight like hell to win this series. Whether you like the Lakers or not, or like or hate LeBron, or whatever you feel about LeBron James, Lakers played their tails off.
Mm-hmm.
And in particular, Anthony Davis, who had a subpar game for him in the series last night, 17 and 15. But LeBron had 30 points, 11 assists, 9 rebounds last night. Hachimura had one of his better offensive games of the series with 15 points. Reeves had 19. They got the contributions that they're looking for. D'Angelo Russell had 14 points, 6 assists. They got contributions from other guys.
Mm-hmm.
But the Nuggets are the Nuggets. And
they were better at the right time. The Lakers, if these were half games, Lakers sweep this series.
Oh, absolutely.
But they have to play the second half every night, from what I've been told. And so the Nuggets are a second half. They are a closing team where the Lakers just kind of aren't anymore.
They just can't do it.
I understand all the LeBron hate. I get it. But occasionally you have to sit back and watch the guy play at almost 40 and average 28, 9, and 7.
Yeah, they didn't lose the series.
In a playoff series.
Because of LeBron James, like, Anthony Davis. They're two stars. It was everybody else that just, unfortunately for them, fortunately for Denver, fortunately for us that are Nuggets fans, they didn't do enough consistently throughout the series. Reeves.
Game one and two really hurt Austin Reeves in this series.
Yeah, it really did.
Because he just was not the same shooter. He missed all those shots in game one in the first half. He just was not the same guy. He ended up averaging like 17 points for the series, but it was really ineffective. I don't want to call it garbage time points because it was a lot of first half points, but hey, the Lakers are out to a 15-point lead. Look at Austin Reeves with 9. And then no show in the second half.
And then last night, one of the plays when Denver was coming back in the game, where Jamal goes down the lane and dunks over LeBron. And he does a little, makes a face, and he does a little flex.
Yeah, the Jamal stink face?
Yeah.
I love Jamal stink face.
Yeah, that right there just, so we're going to win the game. I mean, this game, this series is coming to an end. And with the calf strain, so the explosion to go down the lane, to get to the rim, and to dunk over LeBron James is pretty damn impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And so for Jamal Murray, that might have been even more than the 14-footer to win the game, might have been maybe the most impressive play of the night, considering what he was dealing with, the calf injury, the strain, and then just going right down the hard lane. And you can tell it really took the energy away from the Lakers when he did that. So, Nuggets, Minnesota, it ended up being exactly what we thought. It'd be a gentleman's sweep.
Gentleman's sweep.
So, we'll have some predictions on Minnesota and the Nuggets coming up. Of course, they squared off in last year's playoffs. So, we'll get into that in just a little bit. You can text or call us on the show today, 970-242-1340. Do the Avalanche follow suit tonight? Do they, like their hardwood brethren, close it out at Winnipeg tonight?
Yes. I'm going to say yes. They put 11 goals on Connor Hellebuck in Denver.
Yeah, Hellebuck just seems...
rattled.
Very rattled. And you know the crowd will be incredible there tonight, as it was for the first couple of games.
We talked about it last week. How you can win and still get kind of beaten up. Game one for the Jets, they won. But I think the Avs really showed more.
But it took him 7 goals to do it, and a bad night by Alexander Georgiev, who has dramatically righted the ship.
Oh, yeah.
And he's been the better goaltender. It's funny, you wouldn't have said that with game one. Hellebuck gave up 6, but it is the Avs, and Hellebuck is your shoo-in to win the Vezina. He has not looked like that guy. And as Connor McGahee pointed out to us, he's not been that guy in the playoffs. Tremendous regular season goaltender. His playoff numbers are pretty poor. And they've been really poor in this series. And, you know, Vladimir Nichushkin with his first career, playoff hat trick on Sunday. It's not where McKinnon and McCarr and Rantanen have had to carry the load here. They continue to contribute, continue to pick up assists, continue to be obviously very involved in what's going on. But it's been nice to see some of the other guys. Not that Nichushkin's one of those. He's in that kind of that group. He'd be the fourth guy, really, that group with McKinnon and Rantanen and McCarr in terms of being a goal scorer. But when you got your fourth best goal scorer stepping up with a career, first ever playoff hat trick, says a lot about other guys getting it done. And then it's just been a lot of Alexander Georgiev getting things figured out, riding the ship, and now they're on the verge of going on to the next round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. I like their chances to clinch tonight as well.
Yeah, and the teams played better in front of Georgia. We talked about it the first game. A lot of that was on him, but there's a good portion of it that really wasn't, and they've played better in front of him. He's had to stand on his head, but because the Jets also have good players, not because the Avalanche defense has hung him out to dry.
Yeah, I think there was an acknowledgement of Georgie needs to fix some things. We need to fix some things on the defensive end. We got some, the Josh Manson, bad pass in game one that turned into a goal. Manson's play, ever since that game, has played really well in this series. The Avalanche just have they've just figured a lot of things out. In particular, Alexander Georgiev has really righted the ship. And so tonight, pregame at 7, faceoff after 7:30. Connor McGahee with the call tonight. Avs at Winnipeg on the Team Sports Network. All right, Dexter Collis, got some predictions on Nuggets Minnesota on tonight's game. So both look like, we don't want to put the cart before the horse here. Avs are probably going to move on to the second round. What do you think goes farther? Do the Nuggets go all the way back to the NBA Finals? Do the Avalanche make the Cup Final? Do either one of them get there? Western Conference Finals for both of them?
I think the Nuggets go farther.
I kind of feel that way, too, is while Alexander Georgiev is playing better, I don't know if I can entirely feel comfortable with where he's better than he's been.
Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit of a cop-out for me, but I need to see what the Avs, what this group's closer mentality looks like tonight.
It's going to be tested tonight. The environment's going to be incredible there, as we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a hungry Winnipeg team in front of their fans.
Yeah.
Hellebuck's got a lot to bounce back from and try to prove to people that he is the Vezina shoe-in this year.
can...
There's personal pride at stake.
Either McKinnon or McCarr or Rantanen or Georgie, can they do the Ricky Vaughn, you know, Joe Boo, I'll do it myself type? Or, Pedro Serrano.
Yeah.
Bleep you, Joe Boo, I'll do it myself.
I'll do it myself.
Kind of like Jamal Murray did last night. I was very much a, I'll do it myself.
I've got this. Calf strain, screw it, don't care.
Do the Avs, I know McKinnon can do it because I've seen him do it in the past. Does he still have that dog in him, right? That's what I'm looking for tonight.
Who's tonight's Jamal Murray?
Exactly. That's, yeah.
Who's Jamal Murray tonight? Is it McKinnon? Is it McCarr?
Georgie?
Is it Georgie? Is it Rantanen? Who finishes this series with Winnipeg? Who goes out and...
I think if Georgie goes out and they allow just one goal again and it's in Winnipeg and the Jets season is landed and it's over or crashed, whatever, you know, analogy you want, I think it might be Georgie. And then that, but if they need a game six, then you get into a, this is getting, they're getting hot. You don't want the other team to get hot because if you lose game six, then you got to win in their house. And so I want to see how the Avs close tonight before I give a definitive answer of who goes farther. But right now, I think it's the Nuggets. Yeah.
I have a feeling it's going to be McKinnon tonight. He senses, he smells blood in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Georgie's a good, an excellent suggestion. I like McKinnon tonight to go out and, okay, enough of this crap. Let's move on to the next round. All right, 7:17. Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy, thanks for joining us today, and it's time for...
What's Happening?
And it's brought to you by ComWest, your technology partner. One call, one team, one goal. Helping your business grow, ComWest helps business owners grow their business by providing quality, reliable, personalized technology solutions. They support and secure your business technology consistently and professionally. IT services to meet your business needs, PC and server support, business phone system surveillance, network support, cybersecurity backup, and disaster recovery. ComWest is serious about your business's IT services and support, and for the past 20 years, they have remained dedicated to providing business owners with the right technology solutions so you can focus on the thing you need to, which is growing your business. They serve the entire Western Slope. Call them today, 970-242-8142, or go to comwestcorp.com. All right, despite a calf injury that could have kept him from playing, Nuggets guard Jamal Murray hit the game-winning shot Monday night to clinch Denver's first-round playoff series against LeBron James and the LA Lakers. Murray strained his left calf muscle in the Nuggets' Game 4 loss to the Lakers, so Denver coach Michael Malone wanted Murray to sit out Game 5. Murray insisted he could play and delivered with 32 points and 7 assists to lead the Nuggets to a 108-106 series-clinching win in Denver.
I didn't want to leave my teammates out there. You know, we've been battling all season. Everybody's hurt at some point. Everybody's going through something. And I just wouldn't be able to live with myself if I wasn't able to play this game.
Murray hit two game-winning shots in the series, and Nikola Jokic added a double-double of 25 points and 20 rebounds. The Lakers are led by LeBron James, 30 points, as LA is limited by Denver for the second straight season. The Nuggets will host Minnesota in Game 1 of their second-round series this Saturday. Game time has not been set. The Colorado Avalanche hope to clinch their first-round series tonight when they skate in Winnipeg against the Jets. The Avs dumped the Jets 5-1 Sunday on Valeri Nichushkin's first career playoff hat trick. Colorado leads the series 3-1. Pre-game starts at 7 tonight on the Team Sports Network. For the second time in 3 weeks, the RMAC Women's Lacrosse Offensive Player of the Week is Colorado Mesa's Justine Anderson. The sophomore scored 4 goals for the Mavericks in their 11-4 win over Westminster to close out the regular season, putting her at 51 goals for the season, which is third best in the RMAC, fourth most in Maverick women's lacrosse history. CMU's into the RMAC tournament this week at host Regis University. They face UCCS on Friday. This week, the Central baseball team has a home and away with the Montrose Redhawks. Montrose and Central both have a dynamic two-way player. For the Warriors, it's Ryland Nostrand, with most RBIs as a hitter and the second most strikeouts as a pitcher. For Montrose, their two-way star is Gage Wareham, and Warriors head coach Joe Kellerby is very familiar with his game.
He attacks the zone. We've been talking the last several weeks about pitchers in the Southwestern League. They don't try to trick or they don't try to pitch around people. They just go right after us. We're going to have to take that mentality into it if that's who they throw. We've seen him a couple of times. We know we're in a battle with him. He's an incredible athlete for Montrose. He has been for 4 years.
Catch today's game between Central and Montrose and the Team Sports Network. Pre-game starts at 3:45. Then Friday, Montrose hosts the Warriors for the team's Highway 50 game of the week. Pre-game Friday is also at 3:45, and that's a look at
what's happening.
Brought to you by ComWest, your technology service partner. If your business needs IT help today or maybe an improved business phone system or surveillance, call ComWest today, 970-242-8142, or go to comwestcorp.com. We'll take a break. On the other side, a little sound, Post Malone from Coach Michael Malone, and also from Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. Nuggets in the season for the LA Lakers with the win last night. We'll take a break and come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Cuckoo, loony, and crazy. The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Nuggets eliminate the Lakers last night. Who goes farther, Nuggets or Avalanche in this postseason? Avs have yet to clinch. They have a chance to do that tonight right here on the team when they play a Winnipeg pregame at 7 o'clock for that one. But let's go back to last night. Nuggets taking down the Lakers 108-106, and Jamal Murray does it again. Two jumpers in this series under 5 seconds to win two games of the Nuggets, including last night's clincher, 108-106. And Jamal Murray, the calf injury, which there was some concern that the calf strain could turn to a potential Achilles injury. That was part of the reason why Mike Malone didn't want him to play last night. But he did, and boy, he delivered 32 points for the Nuggets last night. Denver gets the win, eliminates the Lakers. And they win the series 4-1. And after the game last night, Mike Malone, little Post Malone, on Jamal Murray, the conversation that they had about him playing, and just, it's a little bit of a long clip, but it's Malone dives into a lot of stuff here. Here's Michael Malone after the Nuggets win last night.
Oh, the utmost confidence. And that's why I didn't call a timeout. Let the best two-man game in the business play their game and get to their spots. And, for Jamal to add to his playoff lore by having two game winners in a series is just incredible. And the conversation before the game, without getting into too much detail, was an emotional one about him playing tonight. And as he just told me, he goes, I'm glad I played because I don't know if we win if I don't play tonight. I said, well, that's the understatement of the year. The kid's a warrior, man. I can't say enough good things about Jamal Murray. The bigger the moment, the kid just continues to shine, and I'm proud of him. One tough cookie. And I tell you, Nikola, 25, 20, and 9. And the most amazing stat was he was 0 of 0. He didn't miss a free throw tonight. And Michael Porter's offense throughout this series was incredible. His efficiency, 26 points, 5 of 7 from 3. Michael had timely offense. Aaron, 13 boards. And I thought Reggie gave us good minutes off the bench. I'd be remiss. I think Darvin Ham is a hell of a coach. And, that's not an easy job. And I think Darvin does it with class. And I think he and his staff deserve credit for that. He's a good man, good coach. And I wish him all the best. And hopefully he'll be around there for a long time because he deserves to be. And a credit to their team. They're not an easy out. LeBron James is arguably the greatest player of all time. Anthony Davis is a Hall of Famer. And they gave us all we could handle. We did not want to get on that plane going back to L.A. And so now we can, try to get ready for Saturday against a beast in Minnesota. But I got to give the Lakers a lot of credit, man. That was a hard-fought series, a lot harder than that 4-1 final score would indicate, because we had to scrap for every game that we won in this series.
All right, that's Michael Malone after the win last night. Here's Jamal Murray, his side of that conversation, and he starts out saying that he didn't hear what Malone said in the post game, but here's Jamal Murray on the decision to play last night.
I came a little earlier today to see if I was going to be able to go, and I felt like I could, and they just didn't want me to risk it. They told me no. They told me no, and I didn't say no. So I didn't want to leave my teammates out there. We've been battling all season. Everybody's hurt at some point. Everybody's going through something. And I just wouldn't be able to live with myself if I wasn't able to play this game. So I just did everything. We just did everything we could, and got a lot of people in the room to talk about the plan, and I was able to go out there and give 40 minutes worth. So I'm just glad, you know, they listened to me. They listened to me listening to my body, and just trusting me with it. So it was a team effort.
All right, so that's Jamal Murray on deciding to play last night. Nikola Jokic, he's got a conspiracy theory about the whole thing with Murray and the calf.
You know, we were just faking that out. You know, he was faking it, and then we relaxed them, and it worked. So, I mean, I knew that he's going to play, to be honest. Even that I didn't talk to him, like, I know he wants to play, and he wants to be in a big game. So even that he didn't shoot maybe well, it's not how you start, it's how you finish.
He thought he was faking it.
He'd fake it.
But I like how
he said, he's going to play.
Because the question was, Murray wins two games in the series, but didn't shoot the ball very well. And I like the way Nikola says, well, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And he hit two game-winning shots in the series. That's the thing that matters the most.
Nikola Jokic would be the perfect guy to resume the, I can't remember who the advertiser was. Maybe it was Geico. Opulence, I has it. With the baby giraffe.
Oh, yeah.
Little mini giraffe. He'd be the perfect guy to carry that through. I don't know about conspiracy theory. Maybe there's faith that he was going to play, but they showed some of the pregame warm-up, and it looked iffy. If Jamal was rope-a-doping the Lakers, that's fantastic. But I'm kind of with Michael Malone. It's like, I know we don't want to go back to L.A., but we have a good chance to win this series, and we would like to have you for the next three.
Absolutely.
Not just to beat the Lakers in this one. Now, he got through it okay. They're going to have a couple three, because he's what, game one Saturday?
Correct.
They're going to have a couple extra days off now, which is always nice. Let that kind of recoup a little bit, more treatment, and hopefully it's not going to be a recurring issue, but it kind of has been already, so it might be going forward. It might be more of a managed Jamal Murray for at least the Minnesota round.
And I think for the Nuggets, while obviously there's a concern about Jamal Murray and the calf injury, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope sprained his ankle during the first half of the game last night.
Yeah.
Kind of struggled to get through in the second half. He did make some big shots in the second half. Was not 100%, so keep an eye on that with Murray's calf, and now KCP with an ankle injury. And like Michael Malone said, though, that they're banged up. I mean, that's you know, that's the way it is this time of the season. And so, very quickly on the Lakers side of things, where does this all go? LeBron didn't want to talk about the future. Do the Lakers fire Darvin Ham? You heard Michael Malone giving him a strong recommendation. It's like, you shouldn't fire that guy. That guy should be there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that Michael Malone doesn't make that decision.
And the problem is, the guy that does make the decision depends on if he comes back next year or not. Probably the Darvin Ham situation. Because wasn't he handpicked by LeBron and Anthony Davis?
Yeah, and the feeling is around the Lakers organization that if they didn't do well this year, Darvin Ham was going to be the one who was going to be shown the door.
Pay the price, yeah.
He was going to pay the price for their lack of success.
And that's unfortunate because they were kind of better than they had any right to be this year. With that supporting cast around LeBron James and Anthony Davis, they were better than they had any right to be. They should barely have made the play-in, and they were in kind of comfortably. Anthony Davis started 76 games this year. I think you and I, you were right last week. You got to kind of shed the street clothes, at least for
right
next
now.
Season. He's probably not going to be street clothes. LeBron played 71 games. You know, Austin Reeves played in all 82. They were better than they had any right to be, and I think a lot of that was the buttons pushed by Darvin Ham.
But D'Angelo Russell's two up and down in the postseason.
Yeah.
Rui Hachimura is a good player, still a relatively young player.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good piece for them, but they don't have a bench. They don't.
No,
they can really go out and give those guys some a breather. I mean, you look at, you know, Taurean Prince had only 4 points, but he probably played the best of the series off the bench for the Lakers. Dinwiddie had some moments, but mostly it was Taurean Prince. They kind of they basically played six guys that were kind of effective for them.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah.
You just, when you have a guy that's going to be 40, you have Anthony Davis who's got a lot of miles, and you know Taurean Prince is not a young cat either. He's almost 30. Spencer Dinwiddie's on the wrong side of 30. You have a lot of these guys who are kind of sadly ineffective at the minutes they play. Spencer Dinwiddie averaged 25 minutes a game this year for the Lakers, averaged less than 7 points. Like, you're not able to rest your key guys when your bench players either dig a deeper hole or give up a lead in the first place.
I mean, LeBron played 44 minutes last night. Anthony Davis played 40. Particularly for an injury-plagued guy like Anthony Davis, who kind of banged up the shoulder last night, and they had to work on him on the sidelines, on the bench. And LeBron at almost 40, you're asking them to play an awful lot of minutes. It's one thing to ask Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic, sub-30, to play 39 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, 41 for both Jokic and Murray. That's one thing to ask those guys to do that. But it's another thing to ask LeBron James to play those kind of minutes, night in and night out.
It's almost an impossible ask.
Yeah.
Even for a guy of LeBron James' caliber. Not to start the "he's no Jordan" arguments. Yeah, that's all right, fine.
Okay, fine, whatever.
But he's still probably top 5, top 10.
Oh, yeah.
And
easily.
If he's not, you're being disingenuous. And to ask that type of minute load on a guy at almost 40, that's a recipe for disaster.
And the Lakers, they don't have an Aaron Gordon, a guy that can get on the glass, can run the floor. Saw that last night a little bit. It was a great dish. I think it was to Jokic.
Mm-hmm.
Gordon gets a rebound, pushes the ball up the floor. Or you have guys that are really defined in their roles that can impact the game. Can Gordon hit a three occasionally? Yes. Does he get on the glass? Yes. Can he defend pretty much anybody they need him to? Yes. They don't have that player. I mean,
it's all LeBron.
It's all LeBron, or it's AD.
But LeBron is, he's the thermostat of the team, like Jamal Murray. He's the kind of the point center, big forward, kind of like Nikola Jokic. The problem is you're right, they don't have an Aaron Gordon that can slide over to that bigger role when your star takes a breather.
I mean,
Nikola Jokic goes to the bench in those crossover minutes, and Aaron Gordon is out there just being a dog. The Lakers don't really have that. They don't have guys out there that are going to grind, that are going to, you know, dive for loose balls out of bounds. It's all LeBron, and he just can't do everything anymore.
I mean, Gordon's numbers, 7 points, but you know, like 13 rebounds, 6 assists in 46 minutes. He just impacts the game.
Yeah. How many times does he make a guy go around? Yeah, you know what? Maybe he makes a bucket or the Nuggets don't get the defensive rebound, but how many times does he alter a shot?
Absolutely.
How many times does he make a player make an extra pass and cause a turnover? Stuff that doesn't necessarily always show up in the stat sheet, but if you watch the game, you're like, damn, Aaron Gordon's everywhere.
And then let's not fall asleep on Michael Porter Jr. 26 points, 5 threes last night. They don't have that guy either.
No.
Who can defend some better at that than he used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Gets on the glass a little bit, but continues to be a really good three-point threat.
Yeah.
And has found his role, is comfortable with his role now.
It feels like he kind of embraces where he's at.
Exactly. He's embraced being part of a championship team. I think there's a point where he wanted to be more valuable than Nikola Jokic or Jamal Murray. He wanted to be the star of this team.
Yeah.
And he's come to realize, damn, those guys are good. I have something good here. I get to be part. If I go someplace else, which he may well, that may
might.
Happen. That might happen
but
ultimately for him.
He's probably going to go there with two rings the way it stands right now.
But right now, He knows where he fits in.
Mm-hmm.
He's comfortable with where he fits in on this team.
And I have a newfound respect. He's had a rough month.
Yeah, he has.
Personally.
Been really rough.
You know, he's got one brother lost his job forever. The other brother is going to jail. You know, that's rough for a lifetime.
Yeah.
And it happened this month.
Yeah.
And he was still able to go out and produce like that.
And that's kind of what Jamal Murray made the comment about, you know, guys dealing with injuries and other things.
Mm-hmm.
The emotional toll that's taken on Michael Porter Jr. from what things that his brothers decided to do.
I know, like, he didn't dive into it, but he pretty much said all that needed to be said. Bad and sad.
Yeah. So here's Jamal Murray, one final clip on facing Minnesota, who Denver beat, and who probably gave the Nuggets their biggest challenge in the postseason last year. Was that series with the Timberwolves?
We got to be a little bit more disciplined with the game plan. You know, I think, you know, there's so many counters and so many coverages and so many matchups and all that, you know, sometimes in the game, you're just reading, reacting. I think if we do a better job of just sticking with the game plan that we come up with, I think we'll do a good job of, well, that's the game plan. We'll do a better job. So I just think we've got to be a little bit more disciplined and just limit turnovers, you know. We can't give them life, can't give them extra possession.
All right, of course, Minnesota coming off the series win against Phoenix. All right, 7:40, but once again, Nuggets, Minnesota in Denver Saturday night. We do not have the time yet, but we will have it right here on the Team Sports Network. All right, it is time for sound check.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
I know there's a little bit of outrage for this clip yesterday on whatever show Skip Bayless show is called.
Undisputed.
Undisputed. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I know there's a little bit of outrage here, but I believe it's more performative than an actual hooray, because Keyshawn Johnson, as a Lakers fan, knows where the danger lies.
With about 2 minutes to go Saturday, Jamal Murray came down a little funky, and he somehow strained his calf on his, I think it was his left foot.
The third calf strain of this playoffs.
Yep, and they are listing him as questionable for tonight. Okay, is it possible that he's a little gimpy on it, that he's not trusting it, that it's going to bother him tonight?
That's fear. That's Keyshawn being scared of Jamal Murray. That's what that is.
No kidding.
He's a good question. Yes!
Yes!
Oh! I don't think he's cheering for the injury, but you know, when the dagger is not there, you have a better chance.
Yeah, no
Jamal
kidding.
Murray played and they lost. I'm not super outraged.
Jack.
Yeah. I'm not super outraged to Keyshawn. That's a little, like, come on, Key. But also, it's quite performative. You got to kind of know what show he's on.
Exactly. He is playing to the crowd. He is being the heel that he likes to occasionally be. All right, 7:42. We will take a break. And coming up next, we'll talk with Landon Wareham, Montrose Redhawks baseball coach. Montrose at Central today here on the Team Sports Network. That's on the way. This is the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network, online at theteam1340.com.
It's the Western Slopes home of Colorado sports.
Come on!
This is the Jim Davis Show. It's Montrose baseball coach Landon Wareham on the team.
And Montrose baseball coach Landon Wareham, brought to you by the Rick Nelson Agency and American Family Insurance. For a free comparison, call this team of licensed professionals at 970-241-0078. Landon Wareham joins us this morning on the team line. Good morning, Landon. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Thanks for coming on. Of course, your team on a nice little two-game winning streak. You pick up a couple of victories against Durango. You win 6-3 in that first game. Let's talk about that, because Titus Wiese pitched really well for you. He had 7 strikeouts, but Jackson Catton with a big offensive game, a couple of hits, drove in 4 runs to kind of set the stage for that that doubleheader sweep against the Demons.
Yeah, I mean, we Jackson hit a grand slam in the first inning, put us up 4-1, you know, after giving up a run in the first. So, you know, that's always, you know, honestly, it's a rarity for us. We don't get many of those. So it was nice to get that and see that. It was good.
And what did you like when you saw from Titus on the bump? As I mentioned, he had the 7 strikeouts in the game.
Titus is Titus, man. You get what you get, and he's going to give you He's going to throw a ton of strikes. He's going to come right at you. And that's what he, you know, did again. So, you know, he's very, very consistent for us. And, you know, we definitely need that out of a frontline guy. So he's been great for us.
And then the second game, you went at 16-3, Landon. You really poured it on, though, in the sixth inning. You scored 10 runs in that inning. And you've been coaching a lot of baseball for many, many years. Not too often do you see a 10-run inning put up by your baseball team.
Oh, we don't do that a lot down here. But we played sharp. We were tougher at the plate, threw a ton of strikes. Actually, in the second game, we actually walked several. Gage, I think he had 5 walks. So we put him on a little bit more. But I don't think we committed an error on the day. Just played sharp and clean. And we were much tougher at the plate than we've been recently.
As you mentioned, Gage Wareham was on the bump for you, but boy, Gage really delivered at the plate as well. 3 hits. He scored a couple of runs. He drove in 4. So did a nice job on the mound for you, Landon, but also, like I said, helped to lead your bats in that 16-3 win.
Yeah, he's probably been our most consistent hitter. You know, he seems to get knocks when we need him, and he continues to do that. So, you know, good day, and you know, just trying to improve. We got a tough one today.
Of course, you have Central coming up today. We'll talk more about the Warriors in a moment. But your team right now, 10-8 overall, 3-3 in the Southwestern League. And as we head toward the end of the regular season, postseason coming up, and you look right now with the seeding index and where you currently sit, Windsor's the number one team. Palisade is 4th, by the way. And you currently sit 16th in the seeding index. So, some important games to wrap up the season. There's still obviously a lot of work to be done in the regular season, but your team in a good spot right now and can maybe enhance that position a little bit with a nice winning streak here at the end of the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously our goal. You know, we need to move up. You know, 16 puts you in a pretty tough spot, and, you know, we'd like to get in the mix where, you know, hopefully you can catch a good seed. And, you know, I don't think even if we won out, I'm not sure – I think it would be close whether or not we would get to host, but regardless, we want to get as many of those as we can, and even if we don't host, be in a position where we can go draw somebody that we can go get after.
We take on Central today. Joe Kellerby's team, they're currently 26th in the seeding index, 9-8 overall. They're 1-3 in league play. And anytime you talk about Central, Ryland Nostrand, who, of course, was the top strikeout pitcher in 4A baseball last year, He has had another strong season on the mound, got off to a little bit of a slow start recovering from an arm injury. But at the plate, he's their top RBI guy. And kind of like Gage is for you, Landon, Ryland Nostrand, good on the bump and good at the plate. He's really helped to lead the way for the Warriors this season.
Yeah, he's a stud, Ben. I have a lot of respect for that kid. He just brings it right at you, and he's going to throw a ton of strikes. He's got great pitches. He's pretty firm. And at the end of the day, you know, what I respect Butch, he's a competitor. You know, I've appreciated that him. He started since he was a freshman, so we've seen him a bunch. And he shoved it at us last year. He shoved it at Junction last week. He's a top line guy. He's a guy you got to go try to find a way to beat.
And they've also had a really good season offensively from Dayton Tombriza, one of Joe's younger players. Dayton's had a good season in terms of .375 batting average. He's got 16 RBIs. Has him right there near the top as far as their RBI guys go. And so for Dayton, Tombriza has been a really steady bat for that Warriors lineup this season.
Yeah, you know, they got a couple of them. The Coons kids have been around a long time. I know he swings the bat well. Nostrand, Tombriza, you know, they're a good club. They split with Junction last week. They got good pitching. Obviously, even in their game 2, they held Junction to 3 runs or 2 runs or whatever it was. But, you know, we know that's tough to do. We know we have our hands full today and, you know, just want to go compete. I want our kids to go take that challenge against a really good pitcher and find a way to cut the strikeouts down and put the ball in play, and let's see what happens.
All right, well, I've covered that game today on the Team Sports Network. If you're in Montrose, that'll be on 102.1 FM in Montrose. And, of course, so we'll have our Highway 50 game of the week as well with Montrose with Central at Montrose on Friday. But Montrose at Central High School today. Our coverage starts at 3:45. I'll have that game with Vern McGee. And, Landon, we'll see you out there later on today. Appreciate the time as always.
Thank you very much.
All right, Landon Ware, I'm coach of the Central Warriors, or excuse me, the Montrose Redhawks baseball team as they take on Central today out at Central High School. Don't want to get that all mixed up.
That'll be a fun one. Great day for it, too.
Yeah, nice weather. And
nice and beautiful.
Oh, yeah. So a perfect day for it. And well, it's kind of cool. And you get to go out and call a game on campus out at Central High School. So
thing I like about it, parking to table is like 30 feet.
That is a good thing, isn't it?
It is best set up in town.
it's very convenient, isn't it?
It is. And you get, you know, the book cliffs behind the high school. Looks great.
Yeah. So that should be a good one today. Mm-hmm. And once again, today's 102.1 FM. Likewise for Friday as well, by the way, with the Highway 50 game of the week. Pat Hooley will have that one from Montrose. That'll be at 102.1 FM if you're listening in Montrose. All right. You can text or call us 970-242-1340. Who goes farther, Nuggets or Avalanche? Now, the Avalanche are on the verge of clinching that first round series with Winnipeg. Do you want to make one quick correction? Dayton Tumbreys is the RBI leader, by the way. Raleigh Nostrand is tied for third in RBIs. Want to clarify that a little bit with Dayton Tumbreys as their RBI leader. Want to get to a couple of texts from yesterday that I know I'm sure the guys probably read, but want to acknowledge Mike in Scottsdale, who said Jim probably had to wear a suit for the award ceremony, which he absolutely loathes. I do like that suit a lot. Ken, to help pick out that suit. I do kind of like that suit. It's very comfortable. Not that I'm a big...
Big
suit guy, but I did enjoy that suit. He'll have to wear a suit at the JuJuJuJuco banquet. So it'll be twice in about a month.
Yeah, that's true. For me, though, the problem was I was told the dress slacks.
Right.
That was a hard to reconcile in my body. It's like,
Which, to be quite honest, you probably looking at what other people wore, because that's what I was told what the dress was for it.
Yes.
You probably would have been okay.
I erred on the side of caution.
It was probably a good idea.
And professionalism. There's some guys that I saw one guy in there that had one basketball shorts on. Like, I sleep in those. I could have just not gotten dressed.
You could have done that if you...
But...
Most people did dress fairly nice yesterday.
Our Western Slope contingent, you know, Greg, Brad, John, Paul, all those guys, Daniel Bollinger out at Palisade, all looked great. So
Denny looked nice yesterday.
Yeah, that's right. I don't want to forget Denny Squibb.
Yeah. So, for the most part,
rocking the goatee now.
Yes, he
that's
is.
A good look.
Yes, he is rocking the goatee now.
It shaved like 10 years off. Off the face a little bit.
Yeah.
Not shaving. It's weird.
It was great to see him. I hadn't seen Denny in quite some time. And sat with Dan and his wife. Ken and I did it at their table.
We all looked great, though. That's what I'm trying to say.
Western Slope, looked sharp yesterday. Very nice Western Slope. Looked good.
Mm-hmm.
And even former Western Slope residents like Commissioner Kruger.
Yes. He looked great.
Mike looked sharp yesterday, too. Also got one from Terry. Just want to acknowledge some of these. Congratulations to Jim for the award. Terry, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. And wonderful honor, and can't thank once again Josh King and Paul Kane enough for nominating me. And thank you to Kato as well. They put on a really wonderful event. And the two student-athlete winners, the essay winners, they did a fantastic job as well yesterday. It was just a really... fantastic afternoon.
The kid, the male, 12 letters in high school.
Yeah.
4 academic letters.
And hit the ball out of the park with his SAT.
Yeah.
All right. We'll take a break and come back.